Amen. You may be seated. A Sunday school teacher began her lesson with a question. Boys and girls, what do we know about God? A hand shot up in the air. Well, he's an artist, said the kindergarten boy. Really? How do you know? The teacher asked. You know, our Father, who does art in heaven? Harold is his name. Amen. Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Please join me. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May the Lord bless his word this morning. The Lord's Prayer has been called the model prayer because it really encompasses all the different areas of life. The first three petitions have to do with God, his holiness, and his authority. Many men in history have built great empires, great kingdoms. To name a few, the Persian Empire or kingdom founded by Cyrus the Great, who called himself the King of Kings. Then there was the Roman Empire. They conquered a large territory for hundreds of years. Also, the British Empire or kingdom. It was at the peak in the early 20th century. It stretched across a quarter of the world. It's been called the largest empire or kingdom in history. Nevertheless, as you know, they all fell. They're not around anymore. But still, humanity hasn't learned the lesson. We fool ourselves in believing that we can create our own kingdoms, whether personal or otherwise. And we think that they will stand forever and ever. Because you see, our security, our identity is tied to the things we own, the things we accumulate over time. And we don't want any other kingdom to come and overthrow our own kingdom. Somehow we lose our way. We think that we're going to be here forever and that we could just continue to collect more stuff. We fail to live life with an eternal perspective. And so Jesus reminds his disciples to pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God was Jesus' central message. And it had a dual meaning. It refers to the redemptive rule that came into history through the person of Jesus Christ. That's why at the beginning of his ministry, he would go around saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning the kingdom of God is present, is here, is now. However, the kingdom of God also refers to the redemptive manifestation of his kingly rule at the end of age. Thus, the kingdom of God involves two great moments: fulfillment within history and the consummation at the end of history. When we say, "Your kingdom come," we are inviting the ruler of the universe, the builder, the creator of the empire, the kingdom that truly lasts, to be present in our midst, to take control of our lives, to take control of our thoughts, to take control of our homes, our churches, our messes, our family, our possessions. Basically, what we're saying, Lord, you come and you take over. Lord, you lead and I follow. Lord, come and rule over our community where I live. Lord, you entrusted us with this world and we've made a mess. Come and create something new. Come and establish your order. Because, my friends, God is a God of order. God is not a God of disorder or confusion. He's a God of order. In case you have not noticed, you and I live in a post-modern, post-Christian world. People keep asking, well, we keep building churches and people are not coming anymore. They're not interested. Most of Europe is experiencing that in a horrific way. The once upon a time large churches are now museums. Full of mold, mildew, and plenty of gold. I say tear them apart. Oh, did she say that? Yes. Use the gold to feed the hungry children. The worship of false gods is all around us. Morality, integrity, modesty, purity. All those godly virtues that God calls us to possess are openly scorned. As many would say, they're a thing of the past. At times, even we Christians say, oh, well, this is 2018. Those things are not in style anymore. We murmur, we tear each other apart, all during the week, even here at the church. But then on Sunday, we dressed up, we put deodorant on and good perfume. We sit in the same old pew. When I come during the week to pray, I know where you're sitting, so I know who I'm praying for, because you sit in the same old pew Sunday after Sunday. And we look all dignified and all good. And then we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not really understanding what we're saying. Lord, have mercy on us. As Jesus was going around healing the sick, feeding those who were hungry physically and spiritually, engaging the sinners, the prostitutes and the drunks, those who were stealing from the people, the outcasts, the lepers, ministering to children, the homeless, speaking words of life over people. The kingdom of God was at hand. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever taken the time to really think? Where is the kingdom of God today? Have you thought about that? Or do you think I have too much time in my hands and that's why I'm thinking that? Where is the kingdom of God today? I saw the kingdom of God right here last week. All through the week. As Mike Hargy and his team worked in the kitchen. Danielle, she's not here today, but and her team greeted the parents. And the rest of the team led the kids to the table and fed them some good food and then some spiritual food. And as I walked around among the children, I thought, here's the kingdom of God, the future president, teachers, housewives, preachers, evangelists. And you and I, whether you gave money or you stay home and pray for us or you were here working, ministering, we were planting seeds. And the kingdom of God was here. Present. And God was very real among us, visible. And I know some people might say, well, how come those kids are not here this Sunday? None of our business. The Lord says, you plant the seed, I'll make sure it grows. Our business is to pray for those kids and those seeds that were planted. In today's violent and divided society, it's very difficult to see the kingdom of God at hand. Because you see, even the church is torn apart. Contemporary service? Oh, no, traditional service. Five hymns? No, three hymns. Sing them and standing up? No, sitting down. Prayer? Oh, you're supposed to come to the altar and kneel. No, 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 stand up. No, the best way, you just lay flat and you cry out and you pound the ground. Church with pews? No, without pews, comfortable chairs. Lord, have mercy on us. Because those things that we're fighting about day in and day out have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters, can we understand that? You and I can worship Jesus under a tree. At the beach. And the kingdom of God will be there. Because Jesus said, a house divided will not prosper. Lord, have mercy. You see, if we truly know and love Jesus, our spirits are constantly yearning for the kingdom of God. As I already stated, here on earth we don't have the full manifestation or disclosure of the kingdom of God because his kingdom is partially present. However, in the meantime, you and I need to pray without ceasing. Oh Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done. To say your will be done, you know what we're saying when we say that? We're saying, I surrender. And most of us don't like that. Let's be honest. Tell the truth, shame the devil. We don't like to be in that position of surrendering. We like to think that we're in control, that we have an agenda book, and it's really good to have an agenda book, you know, on your phone or wherever you have it. But after we have filled out every hour of the day, it's good to lay hands on that and say, your kingdom come and your will be done. Because it many times that's exactly what happens. And when we say, your will be done again, we're saying, I yield to your will. It's not about what I want, but what you want for me. Again, God is not a God of confusion. He revealed himself in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and still today he's revealing himself to us. If we are willing to see him and to hear him in that still, small voice. He reveals himself to his people. And we must desire his presence in our lives. When we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what we're saying? We're saying whatever is happening in heaven, let it happen here. How can this happen? How can the will of God be manifested here and now? Have you asked yourself that? The answer is really simple. Prayer. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You and I are supposed to be the righteous. And his ear attentive to their prayers. God's just waiting for us to pray. Isn't this an awesome news? Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, is waiting to hear our prayers so that he can fulfill them. The Apostle James says to us, you have not because you ask not. And in Revelation 5:8, we read that there are bowls of incense in heaven, which are the prayers of the saints. You and I are the saints. When we pray here on earth, things begin to happen in heaven. If you haven't read the story of Daniel's prayer, Daniel chapter 10, I invite you to. Daniel was praying for something. I'm not going to tell you what because you need to read it. And it wasn't coming to pass. And he kept praying and praying for 21 days. And then finally an angel appeared to him and said, we receive your prayer the first day. But there was a fight in the heavenlies. Satan was trying to stop me from bringing the answer. Even the archangel came and joined us in the fight. And I'm here to deliver the answer. Because sometimes we have to wait for the answer. But still we must continue to pray. This is an amazing reality. Our Father in heaven is waiting to hear from us. Jeremiah 1:12. God says he's waiting and watching over his word to perform it, to fulfill it. All we have to do is pray without ceasing. You see, we don't see the needed changes on earth because we do not pray enough. Prayer moves the hand of the God who moves the universe. Not only did Jesus teach the disciples to pray, "Your will be done," but he himself prayed it. Do you remember? A few days before his crucifixion, he took the disciples to a garden to pray, the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew in his humanity and in his deity what was to come, the mocking, the death on the cross, the disciples being all over, what they were going to be going through. So he took a few of them there and he said, "Could you pray for me? Could you keep watch?" And every time he would go back, the disciples had fallen asleep. And then finally, he said, "Lord, if it is your will, take from me this cup, this suffering." Because remember, he was human, and at the same time, he was deity. He was sweating blood. But finally, he prayed. The same prayer he had taught the disciples. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Or if you like the King James Version, "Thine will be done." What a prayer. In his humanity, Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done." If Jesus prayed that kind of prayer, how much more should we be praying that prayer? I've heard it say, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve said to God, "Not as you will, but as I will." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Not as I will, but your will be done." My dear friends, as you can see, it takes total surrender and commitment to be able not just to say this prayer, but to live this prayer. The life of a Christian is a life of sacrifices. Next time we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," may the Lord help us to truly put it into practice. Let us pray.